Now, open your Bible with me to John chapter 4, verse 16. Let's define the word worship. According to my favorite place to get the definition, the dictionary.com, it says reverent honor and homage paid to God. It doesn't say anything about the singing, worship being limited to the singing hymns or the chorus music, praise and worship song in the church. I agree with the dictionary.com's definition. Christian music, Christian worship is not necessarily singing a few songs before pastors start his sermon, or allowing people, those who come late to church service, so they can sneak in. It's not for that. Don't get me wrong. I love to sing worship songs. And some of you may not like me singing worship songs because I sing in off keys. It's something belong in the shower room, right? But I like to sing worship songs because it comes from my heart to Him. I really don't care whether you like me singing or not, but my audience is Him, not you. You just happen to be there and they're hurting your ears. And God loves it. Besides, He tells us to make a joyful noise, according to Psalm chapter 66 in King James Version. Make a joyful noise. That means it covers all of my base. So I was doing exactly what God tells me to do. And worship is more than single event in a week. Let me say one more time. Worship is more than single event in a week. So it's not a singing five songs, six songs before the teaching. It should be the way we live for Him. You understand me? That is a worship. In my opinion, there is no higher calling and greater activity than the worship of our God. All Christians. Every single Christian are called to worship the Lord, whether a person has a great voice or not. Or that person may not be able to even clap their hands properly. You know, have you ever stood next to somebody who's, everybody's clapping in unison, and then that person in between? Leave him alone. He's going to town. He's clapping to the God.
He's clapping a different song.
Yeah, he just has a different beat. It's now 4-4, and maybe he's going for the 6-8. You know, A.W. Tozer put his finger on the pearls of the Christian worship in America. He says, worship is the missing jewel of the evangelical church. It is scarcely possible in most places to get anyone to attend a meeting where the only attraction is God. Isn't that pointy or what? One can only conclude that God's professed children are bored with Him. Did you get that? People are bored with God. So they want something more exciting, more stimulant. Heaven forbid, folks. We should not be that way. Let's hear what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about worship, how we should worship. That comes from the conversation between the woman, Samaritan woman at the well in the city of Samaria known as Sychar. We'll pray first. Heavenly Father, yes, we love to worship You with our lives and our heart. Not just a few songs, not just singing a few songs, but let our lives, sweet, sweet music to Your ears and sweet fragrance to Your nostril. Let our heart arise to the heaven, that You may be pleased. Because we are obedient to You, we love You, we reverence You. Father, we pray for the President Obama and the Congress. Seems like each day they are walking away from more and more. Father, you willing speak to them, grab their attention, whatever it takes. And we pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel, officers and agents, and firefighters. Father, you protect them, keep them safe as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, if you'd like to send the email to the family of the Border Patrol, fallen Border Patrol Brian Terry, Agent Brian Terry, his family can receive the email from you at herobrianterry@gmail.com. Okay? herobrianterry@gmail.com. Brian Terry. Brian Terry. I did not know that I knew him. I did a drawing for the BOTEC unit, Border Patrol Tactical Unit. They commissioned me to do the drawing. And he contacted me by email, and he'd like to purchase the print. He never followed through. Yesterday, I got a call from the BOTEC unit commander and one of the supervisors, and they like to order 3 prints so they can give it to his family. So he got the prints. It was not a good thing. Verse 16 of chapter 4, please. I'm just hoping that he knows the Lord. Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Verse 17, and the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to her, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our father worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Last Sunday, if you remember, we studied this portion. I'm kind of overlapping it. When Jesus was trying to talk to her spiritual truth, she was kind of being cynical and sarcastic. So Jesus said, "Okay, that's it. You're done with that kind of smart aleck remark. Go get your husband." I don't have a husband. His penetrating light revealed, exposed the darkest secret of her life. All of a sudden, she has no place to go. And so she, to evade his point, what did she do? She tried to be spiritual. You know, it's kind of a fun thing to watch after people find out that I'm a pastor. That is, of course, that's right after they spew out this long string of vulgar language and profanity in front of me as their normal conversation. And when they find out that I'm a pastor, their normal excuse is, this is sorry, Reverend, pardon my French. 2 things. I didn't know I was reverend. In my opinion, only one person is reverend, that is God. 2, I didn't know they were that fluent in French. And right after that, they tried to be spiritual. "Oh, well, I go to church." I'm like, "Really? Which church you go?" You see, this woman was confused about worship. Her own frame of reference regarding her promiscuous lifestyle and her own regional background, she's a Samaritan, made her ignorant in the true manner of worshiping God. Somehow she thought the worship has to do with the location. A lot of Christians, many people, including a lot of born-again Christians, think that worship only happens in the church. In church only, nowhere else. I say, you know, people say, "Well, it's a location, location, location." I say, "No, no, no." God says, "No, no, no." And Because God is everywhere, you have to worship Him wherever you go, wherever you are. You cannot just put the God in the box of this four walls and, yeah, God is there. Once I step out of church, I can do whatever I want to do because God ain't here. Guess what? You're wrong. Behind the closed door where nobody can see, that's where God is. Because God is with you. If you receive Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, God comes into in your heart. He resides in your heart. He is the guarantee of your salvation. Even if you are not a born-again Christian, guess what? God is everywhere. That's why we call omnipresent God. You cannot worship God in a certain area and, you know, like a PC. He's a sectionalizing, you know, PC computer has a sectionalizer. What do you call that thing? Hard drive A, B, C? Is that what you call it? You cannot sectionalize your worship life, your Christian life. This is for church life, and I can have a different life here. True worship. I'm sorry, before I go there. I hope none of you, we are going to move into our own building, in our own land, our own property in a few months. I hope none of you will say, well, I cannot worship God in this our own building because it's not the same as the dance studio. Don't give me that. If you do that, I'm going to slap you, silly. Listen, God needs to be worshipped everywhere we go. God should be worshipped in the mud hut in Bangladesh, as well as a high-rise apartment in Manhattan, New York, or the slum area of Brasilia in Brazil. He is God, and He needs to be worshipped. True worship is not done in any particular location. Rather, it is whom we worship. True worship is depend on whom we worship. And God is not really pleased with the people's general idea of worship. You may say, well, what's wrong with our singing? Nothing wrong with your singing. This is not the matter of the left up to the whatever individuals to decide. Real worship is concerned with what pleased the Lord. Because He is our object of worship and the subject of our praise. You agree? Yeah. There should be nobody else in our object for His worship, for the worship. We find the situation in the Old Testament that was not done correctly in regarding worship of God. Keep your finger there and go to Leviticus chapter 10, please. Leviticus chapter 10. You might remember in the study of the Leviticus a couple of years ago. Maybe about a year ago. I don't know how long ago. Not very long ago. 6 months? Gee. Okay. Leviticus chapter 10. Verse 1. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censers and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire. You might, if you have a King Jimmy version, it might say a strange fire. If you have a New International version, it might say unauthorized fire. Before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. So the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. It's a good thing God does not hear throw down the fire from heaven each time we worship Him wrong way. Everything about these two men did was wrong according to God's commandment. To begin with, they were wrong people to present the fire. Only person who can present the incense, a fire and the incense, was a high priest. That was their daddy, Aaron. It was not done on the right time either. It has to be done on the Day of Atonement. Not any time, only once a year. And it was not done correct manner. See, the way they did it was they got their own fire. Maybe they used a Zippo lighter. And they just light up the fire and go in there because they will not care. They didn't care about it. They had no fear of God. You with me? If you don't have a fear of God, you will do anything. Isn't that true? They acted from the wrong motive and didn't seek to glorify God alone. They don't know the secret of their heart. We don't know the secret of their heart, but we get the impression what they did was a willful act of pride. Willful act of pride. Let me make it very clear to you. When God's word says, do this, and you are against the word of God, and you come up with an excuse, then you are saying, pretty much saying, I don't care what you say, God, I'm going to do it my way anyway. And that is a willful act of God. There is no gray area in God's word. Not only that, you also can tell these people were drunk. Go down to verse 8, please. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying that do not drink wine or intoxicated drink, you nor your sons with you. This is after he destroyed these two guys. When you go into tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. Bless you. It shall be the statute forever throughout your generations that you may distinguish between holy and unholy and between unclean and clean. Like God rejected Cain's offering. Remember? In the Genesis, Abel and Cain brought the offerings. And God accepted. God was pleased with Abel's offering, yet God rejected Cain's offering. What we don't see here is people say, well, that's not fair. God didn't tell them. I believe Cain was told by his parents. Must be done with the blood sacrifice. Where the blood sacrifice coming from? Remember when Adam and Eve sinned against God? What did God do? Before he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, he killed an animal, covered their nakedness with their skin. Somebody had to die for their sin. That is what we call atonement. You with me? Sacrifice must require blood. There is a grain offering, but that is after burnt offering first. What about us? Do we still do the offering or the sacrifice? No. Our sacrifice is done on the cross by one person, that's Jesus Christ. Once and for all, there's no more sacrifice for us. We worship our Lord through our lives. We must worship Him according to His way, not our way. So how are we going to do that? Jesus is explaining in a few verses later. Verse 21 of chapter 4, please. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 22, you will worship what you do not know. And we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Samaritan believed that Moses command, yes, he did, He commanded Mount Gerizim. Remember the map? Mount Gerizim is the next to it is the next city is Shechem. Mount Gerizim is known as a Mount of Blessing, according to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and chapter 29. And the other mountain, Mount Ebal, is mountain of a curse. And because the Mount of Blessing, somehow the Samaritans think that, well, this is this is anointed by God, we can have our own temple. Even though he specifically told them, no, that's not going to happen. It's going to be in the tabernacle, not in their own temple. Much of what is called worship in today's church isn't really worship. It is self-focused. And man-focused and personal experience-focused instead of being God-focused. What am I talking about? Let me put it this way. You come to church, and if our worship leader, Mark Trudeau, and leading his worship team with the songs you like best, and you say, well, that was a great worship. And if you didn't know it was a brand new song, we're trying to learn brand new song, and you may not like this song. You may not like the certain beat. You may not like the certain tune. And you say, well, I don't like that worship. That was horrible worship. Really? Who is our audience? Whom are you singing to? Are we just singing lyrics? Are we just doing this thing just to get it over so we can do our religious thing? Or are we singing? Do we sing our heart to Him? What do you do? If it's a man focus, if you're self focused, that's not worship. You're worshiping your own self. But if we are singing our heart to Him, our love to Him, our respect to Him, our reverence to Him, that is worship. Am I making sense to Emma, or am I speaking to a deaf ear? Huh? That's not a good time to say, huh, Jack Sutton? Charles Spurgeon, great preacher of the Great Britain, said this, singing shouldn't be the congregational, but it should never be performed for the credit of a congregation. Such remarkable singing, the place is quite renowned for its musical performance. This is a poor achievement. Our singing should be such that God hear it with pleasure. Singing in which there is not so much of art as heart, not so much of musical sound as of spiritual emotion. That is good. Let me put it in this way. Real worship is not singing a few songs before the pastor speaking, as I said before. Rather, it is our life that is filled with a heart to love our God and mind to listen to His Word, the Bible, and the spirit and body that to obey His command over our own desires. In other words, worship should be the daily outward experience, expression of our heart that is filled with adoration, reverence, and love for our God. That is worship. Let me say another thing. I'm probably preaching to the choir since you are here. Let me put it this way. You should run to church Sunday morning or midweek service if you can. If you work prevented, that's okay. But if you have to choose between God and TV program, God and whatever, why are you coming to church then? If you feel that way, stay home. Admire yourself. Because you're choosing God because there's nothing else to do. And it's a religious thing I gotta do. Change your heart, please. Between you and God, your things should not be that much important. Worshiping God, not only at home, as well as at the church. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have to go to church. I can worship God. You are absolutely correct. But at the same time, you're missing something. According to God's command, don't forsake the assembly of the gathering, assembly of believers. That means this is the assembly. This is the church. This is the body of Christ. This is the way you can be accountable. This is the way you can be fed spiritually. When I was not pastor, our family attend service midweek and Sunday morning. I couldn't wait to go to church midweek Because I could not wait to hear from God. I'm hoping that you have the same and even more desire. Not only you listen from Him every day through your daily devotion, also Thursday night or midweek service and Sunday morning, you want to hear from God. You expect to hear from God when you step into church. You don't come here to do your religious duty. Do you understand me? Don't come to church to do your thing. Come to church to hear from God, not from man. Go down to verse 23, please. The hour is coming, and now is when the pure worshipers it will worship Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. You know, there are many churches who have changed their style or even the things they do or teaching or worship to be more unbeliever-friendly environment. So their worship song is more like in style with the secular music. And their teaching, the pastor's teaching, is pretty much encouraging motivational speaking rather than teaching the word spiritual truth from the Bible. See, that means there's no conviction, there's no hellfire, brimstone salvation message, and there's no sin, mentioning sin or repentance. Of course, they still quote the Bible verse here and there. But a lot of times, they quote them out of context. You cannot have a true worship in that kind of environment because it lacks the truth of God and genuine, willing heart to serve God in the worshipers of Christ. Jesus established the basis for the true worship. It is not the place and the false hyped up external expression, but in spirit and in truth. To worship God in spirit means you are concerned with the spiritual realities, not outward sacrifice or cleansing or trappings. If you go to a certain church, there will be a lot of things you have to go into, like a ritual, or things you have to do. That's not necessary. Number two, to worship in truth means that you worship according to the whole counsel of God's Word, especially in light of the New Testament revelation. By the way, what does it mean to worship in spirit? Does it mean that worship in Holy Spirit? No, it's not. It does not say worship in the Spirit. It says worship in spirit. Let me show you in Greek. As soon as this thing works. All right. Made in China. That's why. Chapter 4, verse 23 says, this one said that in pneuma kai aletheia. That is worship in spirit. It does not say worship. See, this kai is... I'm sorry, worship in spirit and truth. There is a kai is and this is the truth. And here, the spirit, the pneuma, there is no article, the, in the Greek word, har. Here, that is the Greek word, article for har. It's the same thing, Chinese. Pneuma here. That is the spirit. That means the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense to you? The article is missing here. That means that is just your spirit. It's not the spirit. You see, the Bible study and worship go hands in hand. Worshiping in truth means that we will avoid what is unbiblical. We will avoid the things that are not found in the pages of Scripture. Our worship will be more effective when everything is based on our understanding of who God is. As we learn more about His nature, more about His character, and more about His plan and purpose of from the Word, then our worship is responsive to what we know about God. Notice the element of the teaching and the worship in Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3. Go there, please. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Verse 16, please. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that is a Bible verses, the word of God, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. There is a worship, there's a songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. As I said, worship songs and praise songs are nothing more than outward expression of your love for Him. Please listen carefully. The most sincere and heartfelt worship without scriptural truth is not worship at all. Did you hear me? Most spiritual, sincere, and heartfelt worship without scriptural truth is not worship at all. Good example, Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Have you ever listened to them? They are great, especially when they sing the Messiah, the Handel's Messiah. It gives you a goosebump. But they are singing without spiritual truth. So it's not worship. You with me? Or some of these secular singers, they're singing O Holy Night. Elvis Presley had a great voice. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. There are many people who are singing O Holy Night. The Holy Night means no different than the hole on the wall. Let me put it this way. It doesn't matter. It's not the matter of how that person is gifted or the you are spiritual. If you don't have a spiritual truth, you are not worshiping God properly. There is a church, well-known church, big-sized church in Tucson. They hired secular musicians. As a matter of fact, nightclub musicians. They just did their gig and their eyes are bloody red and they still have the alcohol in their breath and Sunday morning show up and do their gigs in this church. Are they good? Musically? Absolutely. Probably every note was played correctly. Was people impressed? Probably. Was God pleased? What do you think? Those people, unbelievers, don't belong to the worship team. Unbelievers don't belong to the church ministry. It is important for us to know that. I was approached by somebody, a friend of mine, and he's encouraging me to contact this person who is really good with accounting. So I said, no, first of all, I have a good office manager. Number two, if that person is not a Christian, I have no business with that person. When the church uses secular marketing company to spread their church name rather than God's word, you have a serious problem. We don't, you know, when the Calvary Chapel goes start a church, we don't do the demographic study. We just go, what God says. This is what you do. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes some churches take off like a jackrabbit. That is not my concern. Do I teach the Word of God? That I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to hear the Word of God, discern the Word of God. Is the pastor teaching the Word of God? I have two applications for you. Number one, true worship is not done at any particular location. Rather, it is whom we worship. Agree? Number two, in light of Christmas, just a few days from now, I'm asking you to examine your heart. Live the life of worship that pleases the Lord Jesus, not according to your own preference, but His. Since it is Him, after all, we worship.